This is PodTech News. I'm Catherine Giraudot. National Semiconductor Corporation made an interesting announcement Monday. The company designs and manufactures analog integrated circuits. It's not a company most people would associate with Apple or the iPod, although chips manufactured by National Semiconductor are inside Apple's video iPods. What the company announced was that it's just given every one of its 8,500 employees a 30-gigabyte video iPod. That's right, 8,500 iPods. Jeff Weir, the company's director of worldwide PR, said the iPod gift was in recognition for National's recently announced record operating profits. But that wasn't the only motivation. If all goes according to the company's plan, National Semiconductor's employees won't only be using their iPods for entertainment. They'll be tuning into corporate podcasts and other multimedia employee communications as well. I asked Weir what kind of content the company would be putting out to employees as podcasts or videocasts, as opposed to more traditional methods of communication, like meetings or group emails.
There are obvious big differences between what you can see and hear versus what you can read in terms of the tactile kind of experience for someone. And we know, as you may well know, that when people can see images and see the faces of the people they're listening to and hear the audio, it's much more effective, much more persuasive than reading an email from your boss. There's a total different kind of user experience. So we want to take advantage of that so that when we have speeches that our management may have given on the road, we may condense them into 5 or 10 minute segments and post them as podcasts so our employees can see what our CEO said at the Consumer Electronics Show last week, for example. And they won't have to have gone to Las Vegas to find out what we really said in person. Another example would be providing news highlights of what the company's done and what kind of news attention it has received over the last couple of weeks. We could put a highlight reel on a podcast so people could find out how the news media is covering us. We can put direct employee communications such as announcements of new HR programs, announcement of retirement issues, announcement about upcoming employee stock purchase options. The amount of information you can put on the iPod is unlimited except by your imagination. We are hoping to use it is a training tool as well as just a one-way information tool so that people can download information about either new product announcements, new training programs we're trying to bring people up to speed on, things of that sort. So it covers a wide gamut of potential content, and it all relates to work-related stuff that gives the employee more ammunition to do their job.
Tell me more about how you're producing these employee communications podcasts. For example, if there's a new HR announcement, do you have an actor or a comedian? Or, you know, if you go to traffic school, you can get a comedian to make it a little more interesting. I mean, we all know that new HR announcements aren't always the most scintillating content. Who's delivering these, and what kind of production values are you putting into them?
You've asked a brilliant question because we have not crossed the threshold of whether we need to bring in Don Rickles to do our HR announcements, but I would be totally for that just because it would have more entertainment value and maybe more stickiness of the message that way. But right now, we have the internal capability to produce broadcast quality video and audio content at National. We both have the people with skills who have former broadcast backgrounds to do this. We also have the facilities on site to do it. And the question of which speakers end up being used for which messages is something we'll address as we get a little more robust into this program. For now, we have an existing backlog of content which can be placed on a podcast kind of a vehicle and made available on the iPod so that employees can catch up in a hurry with stuff that we already have in the can. In the future, we'll be making original material or recutting other material so that it becomes original material for the iPod platform.
That sounds pretty cutting edge. Now, did you already have an in-house broadcast studio?
We have had an in-house broadcast studio for several years. Our campus in Sunnyvale, which has been right in the middle of the high-tech corridor for many years, we built a few new buildings 3 or 4 years ago, and as part of the expansion, we knocked down a couple of old buildings and built a broadcast studio in the midst of one of those sites. So we have what I would consider a TV studio quality facility, and when I bring news people down here from broadcast outlets, they say our studio looks better than theirs. So we have a uniquely lucky position where we can literally produce our own high-quality content without being dependent on going too outside too often. And that may be unique to us because of our size and our reputation, but it's one benefit for us being able to do this program.
And you're generally using your studio to produce marketing content. Is that correct?
Actually, you will like this. We use our studio more than anything else for training purposes, where we will do presentation skills training, how to talk like a regular person training, media news training, and a variety of other messaging kind of discussions, where we'll bring executives from our CEO on down into our studio for several hours at a time, and we'll brainstorm with them, talk to them about what they want to talk about. We'll put them on video. We'll show them how they look on video. We'll practice how they actually talk and present themselves. And the end product will be they'll have a greater confidence in just their communication skills. So we use that studio today for a lot of training sessions with a lot of people like that right now. We also occasionally use it for direct TV link-ups when we will do news spots where a CNBC or a Bloomberg or a CNN will want to interview our CEO directly for a couple of minutes on a live broadcast. We will actually use the studio with its backdrop and its logo, you know, announcing who we are. We'll use that for that type of purpose as well. But in truth, we do live TV broadcasts several times a quarter. We do the training several times a month. So the usage of the studio is more for internal training purposes so far than for external broadcast purposes.
I'm curious why you're going with iPods rather than some other player. Were any other players under consideration? Is there a special deal with Apple?
No special deals with Apple. I must confess, though, that they are one of our customers. Many of our power management chips have miraculously showed up in video iPods. So they are a customer who buys chips from National. But basically, in this case, we chose the iPod because we thought it was the easiest to use. It had the most win-win value for perception purposes among our employees. You know, it's the high end of the MP3 sphere. It's obviously outselling all the others 10 to 1, if not 20 to 1, from what I can see. And we knew that it would be easy for folks to use, and it had a real good delivery mechanism with the iTunes software package that is accessible to anyone using any kind of a PC or a Mac. So it just made sense for us to go with the market leader, because, in fact, that's what they are, and they have the dual benefit of being a well-known customer for us, and we're happy to have that work both ways in our direction and our benefit.
Now, as a member of the public, if I wanted to go listen to a National Semiconductor podcast, is there someplace I could do that?
In the future, there will be. Right now, there's very limited opportunities. But we're an example of a company that's trying to get our arms around new ways to communicate. And as you know in your business, there are lots of ways being bandied about by lots of people, and podcasts seem to be not only the flavor of the month, but something that is generating an extreme amount of heat and discussion, and so we decided to take a good long look at it.
I have one final question for you, Jeff, and that's, as you may know, blogging is pretty popular, and among big companies, a lot of employees create, you know, their own blogs that are about goings-on within the company and so on. Are you anticipating any employees wanting to create podcasts of their own and distributing them to other employees at National Semiconductor? Are you going to have any sort of creative contest for employees to create their own podcasts?
Well, you're getting into a real creative area, because the reality is that the adoption rate of podcasting and blogs is pretty low so far. I mean, we've looked at all the media surveys, so we know exactly how many people are doing it and how many are not. And in our case, our core customer base are engineers that work for electronics companies around the world. And their pickup on the use of the Internet is very high, but their pickup on blogs and on podcasts so far has been fairly low. I think that will change, and as those numbers change, we will gear up our programs to address it. Right now, it's not a big enough field for our core customer base for us to spend too much time on it other than to monitor how it progresses. We do, by the way, have some occasional national blogs from national employees. Some of them are that go through our corporate communications group because they're sort of product-related blogs, you know, like a person in our power management unit might talk about new products from National and post it on a blog, and even though it's sort of it has the flavor of marketing, it's really one guy's take on what we're doing. So we have a few of those, but we haven't had too many. And in all honesty, I have not had too many occasions where news reporters, who I deal with quite a bit, call me and say, hey, I just read about something on a blog about National. Is it true? And I've told people for a long time internally that when a news story about National is generated by a blog or a podcast or something, it's sort of a, quote, unauthorized channel. The day that I start getting calls about that is the day we'll pay a lot more attention to it, because that's when it will have reached this point of ripeness where it's suddenly part of the regular dialogue. So far we haven't seen that, but I guarantee you we are watching it assiduously because we expect that day will come.
I've been speaking with Jeff Weir, who's a worldwide PR director for National Semiconductor. Thanks again.
I appreciate the opportunity very much, and it has been a pleasure to speak with you.